The Gemara is trying very hard to figure out why in the world a candle is moksa. There are different theories, and the Gemara concludes, Al Amirava Hanach Lener Shem Nupsila Hawio Unasa Basis Ladabra Aser. What's the Dabra Aser? Rashi says that's a Shalhavas. The Bechiai Moksa Modrim Shemin Shakri Tafel Lishalhavas Baodabal. The Lav Nishum the Chaishla. So it's a basis to the Shalhavas. Shalhavas apparently is Moksa. It's worthy to note that Rashi, when defining basis, uses the word tafel. He does that later on as well as throughout the Masechta. Tosfos and Dibur Maschil, having metaltalin along similar lines, uses the term batel, that something is a basis when it's batel to the muksa. And this relates to a very general question of why does the concept of basis exist in the first place? Where did it come from? The implication of Rashi is that it's tafel or batel to the muksa. There's still an interesting question, and one thing to think about is, and again, now we're not going to do that today, but it comes up here just to begin thinking about it, is the din of basis limited to situations where the muksa is on top of the muhan? What about if the muhan's on top of the muksa, but it's still tafel or batel to the muksa? What's the pshat? Another question to think about is whether or not the concept of basis is natural, that anything that is tafel to the muksa, your makts as well. Or no, there was a takana to aser basis, that anything, if we stick with Rashi, tafel to the muksa is muks as well. It's not natural or organic. I'm not makta daiti necessarily from the basis. That was a takana. The things that are tafel to the muksa are muksa. Or no, maybe anything tafel to the muksa makta daiti mimenu. It's natural. Earlier, for example, we saw Tosas Yishanim and Daf Mem Dal and Medalef that Tanai works for muksa. It doesn't work for basis, which might indicate that it's a special din, a takana. And it's obviously an easier svara in the sense that I'm not really maktsadaiti. Let's say, what do I mean by Tanai working? Well, let's give an example to make that clear. Let's say I go ahead and I have my candle, right? And I say that I have kavana eni bodo. I don't want this candlestick to be basas, become a basis to the shahadas. And that would allow me to move around the candlestick. Right? After all, there's no concern, automatic concern of mechabe, as our Gemara tells us. Okay, maybe I'd have to move it very, very carefully, but it's no automatic concern for mechabe. So that clearly doesn't work. Nobody thinks you can move around a candle on Shabbos by being masta. Now, we saw before that in other areas of muksa, many Rishonim hold that Tanai does work. We have Tanai by muksa machmas mitzvah. We saw the Ramban and others who say that it's a general principle. But anyway, I'm clearly not makta daiti from the candlestick, and yet it's muksa. Now, you could be docha the raya, but that's something to think about again. I think some of these broader questions on buses, we're going to maybe raise the questions now, and as we'll see, there's several more sugyos of buses that we'll see as we go through, and we'll continue to look for rayos. Another very basic question over here, which we've also alluded to, is why in the world is the shalhaves muksa? Interestingly enough, the Rishonim don't explicitly address it, and the contemporary poskim, if you mean to say, the last century or so, were very bothered by it and have all sorts of different theories. I'm not sure what that tells you, because it does seem to be like a very obvious question, yet The fact is that when we look for answers, so we have Shlomo Zalman, Chazon Ish, Moshe Feinstein, it's not like this is a modern technology question that we need, but I don't really know what to say about that. But in terms of those who do explicitly address this question, so the Chazon Ish, we've mentioned before, Mem Aleph Tazayin, it's quoted in the Orchel Shabbos as well on page Pei Zayin, answers that you're not Ragil Ataltel Klal, Shem Yechabe, and that this is perhaps an application of the Chazon Ish's broader theory of Kovei Lomakom, as we discussed earlier, meaning to say, since you're Kovei HaMakom, in this case it's because you're afraid it's going to be extinguished, but L'maisa, you're Kovei HaMakom, you would, not because of Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos it would still be Darshan Uskavim, but Alts practice, you're not going to move it. A difficulty with this pshat, I think, as Rosh Shlomo Zalman points out, is what about Yadif? Yadif will move things around also. You're also very careful that it not go out.
According to Chazon Ish, would you be able to make a tnai on...
That's an interesting question. You could certainly ask that question. What you're saying is you don't care that much on Shabbos because on Yom Tov, because you could relight it. Okay.
Just like during the week,
if you're only, this is your only one, would it be us on Yom Tov? If one can't,
not going to be such an individual.
Okay, maybe, but then you're saying it's a takana. It doesn't sound like it's a special takana over here. In other words, it's natural that there's a. In other words, it would be, sometimes it would be true, and sometimes it wouldn't be true. Sometimes a person's kovei makom for Shabbos on Shabbos and on Yantif, and sometimes you're not. You won't do it on Yantif if there's your only candle, and you will do it on Shabbos if you have 10 other candles. Again, it's not a pircha, but it is tzahara. The Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach gives a very fascinating theory, which is that, as we mentioned before, the shalheves is mischalefes kol ace, and it's a different thing. And the thing that's now here wasn't there before, so it's not like a kli. Rav Moshe writes, which I think is the pashtos, because the fact that nobody says anything, that a shalheves is like an even. Now the question is why? Why isn't it a kli? And this brings us back to a question that we've discussed and probably we'll come back to. But I think what Moshe is saying is that to be a kli on Shabbos, you have to have a certain tzura of a kli. A flame doesn't have a tzura of a kli. And therefore, and even though, interestingly enough, use it on Shabbos in the sense that it provides light, so you'll either have to say one of two things. Either providing light isn't considered usage, and that brings us back to our question, well, what about the painting that you just look at? Maybe there's a difference. Painting you look at and enjoy, here it's sort of a hechsher for doing other things. What I said, or no, it doesn't even matter, because even if a painting you look at, that might be a kli, because that is a tzur of a kli. It's something that, it's an object that was crafted, whereas this is not really an object. Maybe even the fact that it's ein bo mamish prevents it from being considered a kli. It's not so clear what this would be. Now, among Rishonim, the Ritva does actually give us, seem to answer the question of why the shalhavis is a basis. It's not actually the answer of any of these achronim. The Ritva over here writes, Shalheves shu davar asar ligaba. Okay, and she afshar lo zulasam. So, well, we'll actually get that in a second. So, davar ha'asar ligaba. So, it almost sounds like it's asar muksamachmas isar. I assume what he means, we were talking about this during lunch, is as follows, that if you touch a flame, you're going to be doing havara and kiboy probably. You're going to make the flame a little smaller when you touch it, and then when you move your finger away from it, you're going to make it a little bigger. And the point is that therefore this is something that can't be touched. So it's moksa machmas iser. And then, mamela, everything else is a basis to it. So this seems to be a pretty straightforward explanation. I just wonder a second. Then the Ritva says something interesting, which will worth noting. I don't know if we'll focus on it too much now, but he writes, "V'kevan she'efsha lo zulasan, v'hem basis lo nasa kimoso calls manshu dolek." Now, "yefsha lo zulasan" means that the flame requires this, these things, right? The ner, the shemen, and the psila. Now, the implication is that if it was afshar lo zulasam, this wouldn't be true. So let's say for our candles, right? Our candles, you don't need the candlestick. You might not even need the receptacle that holds the candle because they're solid candles. In other words, ner shemen upsila were all indispensable, right? If the psila were to disappear, so would the flame. If the shemen would disappear, so would the flame. If the ner, meaning the receptacle, were to disappear, so would the flame. It's yashalo zulasa. Candlesticks, it's not true. If the candlestick disappeared, so then it would be a candle sitting on a table. It wouldn't, it's not yashalo zulasa. Well, it would...
It's like the oil would fall
on. No, but the oil is needed constantly for fuel, so maybe the candle also. But not the candlestick. I could put the candlestick down right on the table, and it'll let's say it stands, right? It's a nice fat candle. Or anyway, the candlestick, the candle is often on another thing that could stand on its own anyway, that's on the candle. So the point is, now why is that necessary, right? Halacha, we don't assume like that. Halacha, we assume that the candlesticks are buses. So again, right now we're not going to analyze. That's worth considering that condition. Yeah, you had a question before.
Yeah, Ramosha said that in order to be a kashmir, clean needs to have tzuras clean.
Ramosha doesn't explain too much.
Like a food, for example, that's not as much of a...
No, things that are ochel or kalim or kisvei hakodesh are muksa. But this is neither ochel nor clean or kisvei hakodesh. It's not, it doesn't have...
Well, the point is that it isn't clean.
No, it's not. In other words, just because... Well, that's the question. In other words, do we say, if you define kli as something that does something, so this does something, it illuminates my room.
There's no way in the Gemara it's Tzuras Klin. What is Tzuras Klin?
Well, a lot of times we have that lashon and Rishonim and Gemara as well.
It didn't mean the shape or work fashioning.
Well, what is meant? You need it to be a kli. So now the question is, what's meant by a kli? What's required to be a kli?
Something which is naturally found would not be a
clean. Maybe you need to turn it into a clean. Now, it could be that to turn a stone into a clean, you need to, there are certain things you could do. So again, we're going to get to those things later. And even maybe mach yichud liolam would work, but that's for something that's also lasts liolam. Right.
Where did you see in the Gemara this idea?
It's clear, I think, from many Gemaras that it needs to be a kli, not to be a muksa.
I agree, but where do we see that?
So now the question is, how do you define a kli? That's right. Not clear from the Gemara. That's
right.
Hence the obscurity here. What is the definition of a kli for purposes of muksa?
I'm just wondering where Moshe got this kli from the Gemara.
From here? In other words, the Gemara,
by
saying it's muksa, it's telling us, and again, that it's not a kli. If it was a kli, then it wouldn't be muksa. So,
could it mean that it's not a kli? Like what Yeshua was saying, that it's not a kli, that it doesn't have a function.
That's, I told you, those are two options to say for a Moshe. I said that before. In other words, the reason why that's more mechudash in a certain way is because then you'll have to say that this isn't considered a function.
Yeah,
that's what I said. There are two ways to go in terms of this non-Kli approach. One way is to say that...
Either way, you got it somewhere. It's Chazal, whatever they call them. So Kalim, come up old.
Yeah, no, that's true. The question, I thought what Yeshua was asking is, you know, where do you see from here a definition, that this definition of a Kli? So again, within, what we'll call, I don't say Rav Moshe, I don't know what Rav Moshe is. Assuming that this is muksa because it's not a kli. Now the question is, why isn't it a kli? What makes it not a kli? So one possibility, Ike likes this possibility a lot, is that a kli is something that does something, and a shalheves is not considered to be doing something. What do you mean? It's doing something. It's illuminating my room. That's very important. Without the shalheves, I'd be in the dark. No, that is not a... Doing something means something more significant than just providing light. The alternative way to go is to say no. If you had something with a tzura of a kli that did that, all it did was provide light, then it would be. Now, let's just to maybe give a nafgamina, is a light bulb or a flashlight or the like, or a lamp, right? That only provides light. It's a tzura of a kli. So if you ask Rav Moshe, what's the din? So Rav Moshe was asked this question. And Rav Moshe basically said, yeah, flashlights, and now let's start with incandescent bulbs, are not muksa. But people confuse them with muksa, so they're asr anyway, made up of zera. Meaning to say that he wasn't assuming like you. He was assuming more like I was saying, that the reason why this is muksa is because it doesn't have a tzura of a kli. And memela, well, flashlight certainly has a tzura of a kli. And even though all it does is the exact same thing as the flame, but that's still, it's still a kli. It's and therefore you can move your flashlight, but it's usher. Why is it usher? So I think he's not very clear here. It was in a sort of a conversation recorded by Rabbi Bodner at the end. But I imagine that the reason is because we know in halacha, and the poskim, when writing about turning on lights especially, emphasize this, that in halacha, the incandescent filament has the status of a fire. That's why it might even be an Isser D'oraisa to turn on a light on Shabbos. So if we allow you to move around this lamp, which is basically a fire in halacha, then you'll move around a fire, which is aser. So as not to confuse people, we said you can't move around the lamp either. Now, this raises an interesting question. Well, what about a fluorescent bulb? A fluorescent bulb, so there's no fire over there, so maybe that should be mutter. So they're posting that a maker, Roy Willig, is maker for a fluorescent bulb. If you have, and this is, yeah. So I know many people are very worried about, for example, Shabbos lamps. Shabbos lamps, unless you're extremely meticulously careful when you open and shut them, you will oftentimes move the thing. Is that something to worry about? No problem, because they're all fluorescent. In fact, the directions say don't put an incandescent bulb in your Shabbos lamp, you'll burn down your house.
Oh, they also pass in like Rav Willig.
They also pass, but it's also to burn down your house. So, fish from who? So some people object to Shabbos lamps for this reason. That's why you should get the Shabbos drawer, solves this problem. But Ray Willis says, nothing to worry about. And certainly an LED. Now, Rav Eliashiv is quoted as still being machmir by a fluorescent. Not so clear why. He's quoted in the Shvus Yitzchak. Something along the lines of, well, we don't even know why a shalheves is muksa, so we better be careful about this also. If we can figure out why a candle's muksa, then we could decide whether or not this is like a candle or not like a candle. One way you could understand this, again, it's very hard to know. This is no elaboration or analysis in the secondary sources quoting Rav Eliashiv that I found. One possibility, which Ike suggested, was that maybe the flame is muksa because it's davershein bo mamish. It's like a gas that's heated, excited, and fluorescent is also heated, excited gas. It's not hot. It's not going to be like a flame, but in a certain, from a physics perspective, it's very similar to each other. It's a not such an obvious svara, but that's, you know, they could argue that would be the reason to be machmir here. If you looked at the flame as muksa because of that, but then maybe you could be makel by an LED, because LED is doesn't have that.
What's lighting up that LED?
Semiconductors. You have to ask an engineer a little more.
Wait, why is LED different?
There's no heated gas.
And there's no flame either?
There's no flame.
No,
well, so there is metal heating up. In one sense, it's more like incandescent, but that the metal itself is illuminating. But on the other hand, it's cold. So it's not, that's why it's so energy efficient. Anyway, I'm not very familiar with this.
Is that making
Because according to Rebbe,
you could argue that even if you were to be machmir for incandescent and fluorescent, here you could be mako because it's a kli. Now, if you hold an Ike's theory that kalim that just illuminate is not a shtamsha, so it's still going to be
machmir. Yeah,
but if you hold that no, that there is, the shalheves is muksa, and any excited gas that is muksa. But this, there's no excited gas, it's just illuminated metal. I don't really understand any of these faros.
Where Rebbe said before that the fire is not fashion,
that's the
flame.
That's the
smoke.
Yeah.
So by the fluorescence,
so
the gas would be the same as the
yes,
flame.
You could argue that same thing. But the problem is that, but everything is full of gas. I have an empty pitcher, so it's full of gas.
So, but a fire, oh, so it must be a fire is a zach, right?
So now you have to start clarifying.
A fire is a zach, but not like a physical
chatzah. So I don't think that's what I was saying for Ein Bo Mamish. That's exactly the point. So that's the argument to be machmir for fluorescent. That's exactly the argument. In other words, it's if it's Ein Bo Mamish, but you see it. In other words, it's intangible but visible. Something intangible but visible is muksa. And then, based off of that argument, you could say the fluorescent is aser. And LED would be mutter, if that was your svara.
Isn't LED the worst?
No.
What are these semiconductors?
They're physical things.
That's a feeling.
It's a physical thing. LEDs will only be usher, like Ike's theory. Or if you hold a Rav Moshe's Gzeira and you extend it two more levels.
Isn't Ike's theory debunked from the fact that a ner is, meaning there's a machlok, so there's a pish machlok, there's a pish machlok, but no one says it's a
no, that's a ner is a kli, it's a cup. A ner is a cup.
No, but its primary function is
it's
to
a
be
cup,
mayor.
So that's the shiloh. It's not mayor either. Its primary function is to be a bustus for shalheves.
Okay,
its
primary function.
I agree now that what I'm saying is probably not. It's not. I agree that.
Good. Okay. Anyhow, it's hard to be marchiv too much on dvarim she'ein bahem mamish. Okay. That was a joke. Not to chas v'sholom be malig on any of the svaros. Purely a pun. I apologize if.
No apologies. We're wondering if you assume clean is about source of clean. What about things like that you're miyachid to use, like afer?
So you could probably be miyachid afer to make afer not muksa. Well, we'll talk about that. The question is, pashtos is that, yeah. No, you. But that's correct. You could definitely turn non-kalim into kalim, but the pshat is they're still a kli. That's precisely the point because it's too intangible. Yeah, but that's not the first. That's only secondary.
You see that Surah's kli is this point shows that Surah's kli is not kli. No. You never need to fash. Your machshava could do that for
machshava, if something.
I think a rabbi.
Yes, that's correct. Okay, we're gonna go back to these questions. We're gonna hopefully see some more sagias and maybe have more help on this. Now let's read on to the next gemara. And there's a lot of inyanei basis, very fundamental ones that at least I want to bring up, especially because we have to finish on time today. So Amar Zer of Yochanan Amar Chanina Amar of Rumnus Li Hit to Rabbi Lataltal Machta Be'Efra. Amar le Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Asi miyam Rabbi Yochanan achi. Ha'atana ha'notu adem no gam miyado kakal dem miyad v'socha ha. Amar Rabba b'abar chan amar v'yochanan b'kakal le'apir z'skinan. Taima de'is b'apiri ha'les b'apiri lo. So how could you move? And at this point, we assume that Efer is Moksa. So how could you move this machta with Efer in it? So now the machta has both Isser and Hatter in it. Amar bai kratin ve rabbi nichshivi. It's going to be Moksa anyway. V'chitem chazaniyim, v'atani b'gdaniyim laniyim, b'gdi ashirim ashirim, v'adaniyim lashirim lo. Which is a discussion we had a little bit last time, maybe we'll get back to it. Now, what did Abaye think? So, again, Grav Shalvei is definitely not a situation we do today. What we see from here is somewhat of a debate what constitutes a Grav Shalvei. Right? Obviously, Abaye knew that these weren't Salmais, and yet he said it's Grav Shalvei. So maybe. So at this point, at least, we seem to have a debate, and the question is, what are we going to accept? Either way, Rav has the last word over here, and maybe Abaye even Choser. Alamer Rava, ki havina be Rav Nachman havim etatelina kinnun agav kitma, bavagav dika alayshe ve'eitzen. Meis vei, v'shavim sheish b'shiv rei psila sh'azol taltel, amar Abaye, beglila shanu. So, what's pshat in Glila? So Rashi explains that here in Glila they were very, very short on wicks or on linen. So it's very valuable. So it's going to be a basis. Tosfos says as a different pshat in Vetber. One of the things that you see from this Gemara, you certainly see it from Rashi and even from Tosfos as well, is that there's two ways to prevent something from being a bat. Well, many ways, I guess. But a basis will be usher when it's holding mukhs. And again, there are conditions for basis, which we're not going to talk about today, like you need a niach and a shachach and the like. But for our one nakuda that our Gemara emphasizes is if you have two things, hitter, isser, and hetter, so it's only going to be a basis if the isser is more chashuv than hetter. Also, you see from Rashi as well as Tosos that if you just have isser, but the isser is extremely unimportant, so then it's also not going to be a basis. Tosfos brings a raya to this idea from the case of Sheri Kosos, the Maskana. Well, not so clear what the Maskana of the Gemara in Be'ah is, but at least one point in the Gemara in Be'ah that we say that if you have a kos that has a little bit of crumbs on the bottom from the guy who dipped his bread in the wine, and those crumbs which are saturated with wine are aser, it's the guy who touched the wine. So the kos doesn't become a basis because they're so non-chashav. Now, the truth is, if you look at that Gemara, it's not clear what the maskana is. And maybe it's not true that it's the maskana because the rasha b'hana. Though a number of Rishonim, and this is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah in Shaar Tzion, Shin Chav Hei Sifkat Malef, the Chazon Ish objects in Nem Ches Tes. But that's another example where you see something that's not chashav doesn't create a basis. So this very important rule. One illustration of this is quoted in the Chai Adam, which is cited by the Mishnah Berurah Siman Shin Yud of Katan Lamed Aleph, is let's say you have a very small amount of money left in a pocket, and let's even say it's a pocket. You don't have the kisvaros, it's your shirt pocket, or on a table or something like that. And even if it was heniach, but it's not, there's a couple of cents. So it's so not chashav, the table or the shirt won't become a basis. Now that's an idea that Tosis says over here. Tosis says it in Beya even more clearly, and that's in Yesheri Kosis. Rashi says it over here as well. There's an obvious question for those of you guys, especially learned Beya last year. There's just Tosis on Daf Beis in Aleph in Beya. As the Shaili says, why is it that the table that your person's eating a garinim, right, and they leave a bunch of garinim on the table, so why isn't the table the Melon Bosses? First, ask that child and he gives answers.
On Shabbos?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about buses on Shabbos later, but let's say it was before Shabbos. It happens to be that one thing we're going to talk about in just a couple minutes is that, according to almost all Rishonim, maybe Balamor not being the exception, there is a concept of something becoming a buses on Shabbos, while, at least while the Mux is on it. We'll get there in a second. But let's assume other conditions of basis are met. Maisatosis wonders why in the world the table isn't a basis. And he answers a question. It's late, so we don't have to get into his answers for now. Well, those are important answers, which we'll need to get back to another time. But what you see is that Tosos, at the very least, takes for granted that if you have a table with a pile of garbage, so the table could and would become a basis. So I have a question. Right. Garbage is, how much are all those nutshells worth in total? Less than my 1 cent. So how could I say that my penny doesn't make my table a buses, but 0 cents worth of garbage does make my table a buses? That would seem to be a contradiction. So the answer that the Achronim give is that no. Because that's chashev, not in its value, but because it's a large amount. It's a large amount. As we have to say for Tosos. Now, interestingly enough, if you look at the Rashba, in the Chidushin and Beitzin, he also says this on Kuf Mem Gimel Med Aleph and Shabbos, he disagrees. He actually says the reason why the table isn't a basis is because it's garbage. It's worthless. There's no chashivos. Now, one reason maybe not to say like the Rashba, and you have to answer for Rashba, is we'll see later on. You probably saw it quoted today, and is by the Evan Shebe Kalkala. The Evan Shebe Kalkala how much is that worth, right? You have a stone on a barrel or whatever it is, and there we have it is a buses issue.
That's not a clue.
Sure it is. The barrel...
An oven.
No, that's the problem. Why does the oven make the barrel, or the barrel's cover, why does it make it a buses if, after all, it's not very valuable? So if you learn like Tosfos, you could say it's a big stone. But if you learn not like Tosfos, if you learn like the Rashba, then why is it? So if you look at the Rashba in Beya, Daf Beis Med Aleph, he says there, the Gemara is talking about an Evan Shomedes Labinyan. Actually, it's not a worthless piece of stone. It's a valuable brick. It doesn't have to be that valuable, but it's something of some value. So that would be very beautiful. That's a very important question. As we do hold to this idea, Halacha it's Paskin, as I said in the Mishnah Berurah, Siman Shem Yotzef Kadma Med Aleph, that's something that, even if it's Hunach, but it's of no value. And now that question somewhat brings us back to our issue of batel and tafel, and or what's the svara of basis? Is basis just mux on top of non-muxer? Is basis a svara bittel and the like? If you assume basis is a svara of bittel, so it's very easy to understand why an exception to the rule of basis, even if it's hunach, would be something of no or almost no value. There's another very interesting issue that comes up over here in the Magen Avraham. He has a very interesting diuk. This comes from a question in the Trumas Hadasha. Somebody asked a question. Listen. So it's the discussed in the Magen Avraham Siman Shin Tes Sifkat Vav. And this is the concept of Basis Be'akrai. And you'll see why there's a relates to our Gemara, because the Jewish is giving a raya. I guess probably But the best thing to do is actually to just follow along if everyone has. And it is quoted in the Mishnah as well. But Simen Shin Tassif Kan Vavin Magan Avram. So it says, Masha Diktak Bish Rashi Perkanotel, Delonasa Basis, Alim Kane Hiniach Alav Davar Amuksa Bishvil Shah Yisyashiv Alav Betuv. So the Shoel in the Trumas Hadeshen, which might have been the Trumas Hadeshen, it depends which chelak of the Trumas Hadeshen it is. It's the other one? It's actually, this is the real Trumas, not the fake Trumas, okay? So he was Medayik that it's only if the Muksa was placed well on the Muchan, Avamash Menichan Bederach HaKrai. So this topic is known as muksa bakrai from this word. Kikemo shiragilim lahasim b'teva chafatzim elu al elu mepnei she'en lo revach lefanos l'chol chayfetz makom b'shuli ateva kia gavna.
Where is that being from?
Magen Avram.
Shintas Kanvav.
Which simon? Sivdal. Sivdal in the Shulchan Aruch. So lo chash, in other words, you intended to put this muksa object in your closet, right, or your office, but you don't carefully place it here or there. You just like threw it in, and wherever you didn't have to throw it, you could have put it down. But there is no care taken where it is in the aron. It's just that it was definitely munach the aron. You wanted it to be here in the aron, and then. So it landed up on top of something else. That your question is now: does that thing become a basis, right? I wanted it in this aron, didn't necessarily want it on top of my book. So is my book now a basis for my money, right? I throw in my money, my wallet into my closet, okay, so that's the shiva. Nira. So the Shul wanted to be machmir, mekel. Nira de'en ra'ayim meferish rashi latir. Alek shenach alav kfar v'arsham shach al meniach v'arsham zavil v'akray. Ha'ol v'yodea shehamuksa yehenach al chayfetz b'shabes gam al chayfetz nasim muksa. So that's what the Trumas Hadeshen says. Ad kam l'shem. V'li nira, sorry, that's what the Shul said. I said it wrong before. Now, v'li nira is the Trumas Hadeshen talking. The Linira Pashut Kedivrei Ashoel. No, sorry, the Linira is the Magen Avraham talking, saying that the Trumas Hadeshen is Machmir, and I, the Magen Avraham, want to say Lahaka like the Shoel. What's his Raya? Da Metaltalin Kenuna Agav Kitma Argamar? Af Agav Shiesh Ala Efer Shivayetzim. So what's the deal? Lashon Argamar. Argamar says Metaltalin Kenuna Agav. So what does that mean? You have Shivri Eitzim on top of the Afer, which isn't Muksa, on top of the Kanuna. So if you were Machmir on the Shaila, like the Trumas Hadeshen, so you should have a basis issue here. Why? Because I should say the Afer is a basis to the Shivri Eitzim, and then Mimela, the Kanuna, would be basis to the Afer. So Ika Ale. So the way that you could, we'll see that in a second, it's a good higher, but at least the Magen Avraham's diuk is Ika Ale means on it. On it, what's it? The Afer. So that's his diuk. So Memela, but it's not true, right? We say that the it's not a basis. The Kitma isn't the Kanuna isn't a basis, and therefore we see Lahakel on this. So, the dechia for the diuk is a point made by Rabbi Kiveger. More or less, he says exactly what you said. Nero l'diastaiti ein mizaraya dein shavir eitzim mechasim l'chol ha'efer. It's not like you have a layer of efer covered entirely by shavir eitzim. Ela demunach b'kama makomos shavir eitzim scattered throughout this efer are the shavir eitzim. V'nehid b'makom ha'eitzim yeshlomar de efer. Taka, maybe the Trumas Hadeshen is right. So, on those spots where the Eitzim are there, they would be a basis. But overall, there's plenty of Afer that isn't a Basis, and the Mela, the Kanuna, is not going to become a Basis either. So Rabbi Yeager says, is Docha the Raya of the Magen Avraham L'Hakel? L'maisa, in terms of the Poskim, so there are many Poskim, L'kan and L'kan. As we said, the Magen Avraham is Meikil. The Taz is Machmir. The Mishnah Brura quotes, if you want to take a look at the Mishnah Brura, discusses this in Sif Katan Chaf Yod Ches. Okay, so let's just look that up quickly. Except I didn't bring my Mishnah Brura. Okay, anyway, Mishnah Brura Sif Katan Yod Ches quotes Lakan. Kind of Lacan, and basically comes out more towards the Mechilim, more towards the Mechilim. And again, there are I think Shulchan Aruch Rav is also Mekel. He's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. Now, Shalom Etes Yud Ches. Now, what would be an example of this? So, an interesting example of this. Well, let's actually stop for one moment and think about the svaros first, actually, and then we'll talk about what comes out. I'll just say who's mekel and who's machmir. So the trumas hadashim and taz are machmir, and who is mekel? So the Mishnah Brura notes the Magen Avraham Beis Meir and Shulchan Aruch Rav are Mekilim. And Lamaisa, the Mishnah Brura paskins that you could be Mekel B'Makom HaTzorech. So what are the Svaros? So again, L'chora, the more you emphasize the need for Bittel and Tafel, like Rashi, the more you're going to be Mekel here. Whereas the more you emphasize the structure of basis as muksa on top of muhan, so here you have muksa on top of muhan. Or if you emphasize haktsa midas because of the structure of muhan, muksa gabe muhan, so here again, here you have that haktsa midas. I know, I put this down before Shabbos to stay on Shabbos, muks on top of this muhan. So basically, I've now been muktza my muhan because I know I'm not going to have access to it due to the fact that this muksa is on top of it. So a good example of this, we talked before about muks in the freezers or the like. Let's say I go ahead and I have on my freezer a ice cream cake that I'm going to have on Shabbos, or ice cream or dessert, and on top of it is a frozen chicken, assuming that it smokes out. So that would seemingly be an example of basis bakrai. Now, I definitely wanted my chicken in this freezer, but I presumably, when I put my chicken on top of my ice cream, I didn't want dafka to be on top of the ice cream. I wanted my chicken to be in a freezer somewhere or other, and this is where it happened to be. I didn't even if I didn't throw it in randomly, I came home from the supermarket, I have this chicken, I need to put it somewhere, I open my freezer door, I put it on top of the ice cream, and now it's there. So according to the Mekila over here, it shouldn't be a basis, so it would be pretty easy to probably, depending on how much room you have in your freezer, to be manai or the chicken from on top of the ice cream, then you'd be able to eat your ice cream on Shabbos. According to Bach Mirim, you'd be stuck. Ike pointed out from Levadia, and I didn't get to look at this at the last moment of Seder, but there might be another tzad to be mekel here, even according to Machmirim, which is if you look in Simon Shinud Aleph Sif Ches, there are some, not the Magen Avraham, but there are some who understand that there's a principle of Ein Basis Be'ochel. So that's a topic we'll get back to, but that might be another tzad over here, that the Ochel, the ice cream, doesn't become a basis to the frozen chicken.
Where was that?
Where was it, Ravadia?
Oh, no, where was it? Okay.
The concept of Ein Basis Be'ochel is Shin Yud Aleph Sif Ches.
would even apply in this case where it's the ice cream.
They're both Ocho.
The ice cream box is a bus as to the ice cream. That's what's a bus.
No. No, I don't know. I don't think so. I you have to think about it, but I would. I didn't look into that. As I said, this was a last minute. No, you're saying the box is a bus to
the chicken.
Chicken.
Yes, that's what I said. The ice cream's not the bus. The ice cream's under the box covers. Yeah, the top of the box.
The box is tough to the ice cream. Okay, something to.
Bathroom don't hold of the tough. The bathroom don't care as much about the tough or
anything. I hear that. Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe that's a good question. Good, I think about that. Another very important issue that comes up is that you see from our Tosos in Diras Lahabe, and this is an idea that we've seen already seemingly a couple of times. Let's actually make one more hour and then we'll get there in a second. Another hara, which is there is a machlokas, this actually brings us back to the earlier Gemara of Ner Shem Lopsila. There's a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, comes up several places in our Masechta, among them on Daf and Aleph, that something does not become a basis if I have kavana to be misalik in the middle of Shabbos, let's say Ayyadei Niyur, or some type of permissible form of movement. This comes up in the Sugya of Hatmana, or the like, where I matmin my food with muksa stuff, but it's not a basis to the muksa stuff, because I was planning to do Niyur, to be mina'er the muksa stuff from on top of the food. And therefore, it doesn't become a basis. That's Rabbeinu Tam's theory. He has other bias for this. The Rashba, over there in Daphne and Aleph, asks a Shaila from our Gemara. We say, Ner Shem Upsila is a basis of Davar Ha'aser. One second. The flame is going to go out. Right? We're talking about a Ner. So it's Das, right? You're not intending for this Shalheves to be here all of Shabbos. So according to Rabbeinu Tam's theory, it shouldn't be the Ner, let's say, shouldn't be a basis to the Shalheves because it wasn't meant to be here all of Shabbos.
He didn't do it,
so that's the Rashba's Kasha. So what's the answer to that? So the Achronim give a number of answers, and that is one of them indeed. Before we see their answers, this debate is two deos in the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shinta Sif Dalid. If you want to just take a quick look on that. Shachach Evan of Yachavis, Almos, the Mihash Alemi Daitam, Aldash Yisharu, the Knisa Sashabis, Aslatus Lenair, the Yeshomrim, so this is Rabbi Nutam, so Stam is Lahachmir, the Yeshomrim, Tafilu and Nicham Sham Aldash Yisharu Sham, the Knisa Sashabis, today. Shehitlim b'Shabbes motor lahatos ulinar b'Shabbes. Aloas v'elu b'meniach adas shisharu sham kol Shabbes. So the Yeshomim is Rabbeinu Tam. So the Rashba, as I said, asked the Shalom Rabbeinu Tam. If you look at the Bir Halacha, he quotes a number of answers to this Shaila of the Rashba. So what are the answers? This is in Bir Halacha Simen Reish Ayin Tes Siv Beis. Oh, thank you. So the Tosafos Shabbos answers that Rabbeinu Tam, basically what Yoshua answered, that's when Rabbeinu Tam was Mekel when you were going to do a Maisa to remove the Muksa in the middle of Shabbos. But by Ner, you weren't going to do a Maisa, it was going to go on its own, and therefore, it's not a hanachas arai, and it will be a basis even according to Rabbeinu Tam. So that's a chiddush, because if you think the whole kula is that anything that's not going to last there all of Shabbos. No, there's just like this way. The standard, the simple words of Rabbeinu Tam imply that it's not a basis because it's not going to be here all of Shabbos. So if you say it that way, then it's a very good kasha. So the Tosafos Shabbos is answering, no, that's not the Shabbos Rabbeinu Tam. It's not a basis if you're planning to remove it on Shabbos. But if it's going to on its own be removed, then it would be. That's the Tosef and Shabbos' answer. The Prima Gadim answers that this is only mutter, according to Benu Tam, when at any moment you could get rid of it, you could be Menayer. Right? At any point in time, if I have the option of removing the muksa, so memeil it won't be a basis. But here, I can't get rid of the flame until after it goes out. So throughout Banish Mashos, my hands were tied. It had to be here. If at any point in time in Banish Mashos, let's say, I could remove the muksa if I wanted to, and then not only that could I remove it, but I intend to remove it, potentially on Shabbos at some point, so then it's in my control. Mash'ein Kain over here. The Chazon Ish, Simen Mem Ches, Ifkat Ches, gives it a third answer. And this is an answer that, whether you use it to answer this question or not, will come up in a number of other places, as we'll see shortly, in the rules of Basis. And that is that if it's the Makom HaMiyuchad LeHamoksa, then it doesn't even matter, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, that you're planning to remove it. Now, what is the Makom HaMiyuchad, the proper place for Shahaves? And therefore, it doesn't help. We're going to come back to this idea in just a moment. Now, another idea that I told you about before, and now again, I guess today we'll be just introducing a lot of ideas in Basis, and we'll get back to many of these as we go through the sugyos, but is an idea that I said you see from Tosfos over here, as well as many other Rishonim, and that is the idea that, how do I know this idea to be machmir when something is its makom? Like, where do we see this idea in other places? You know what? I'll do one thing for a second. Go back. My first order was better. So, one of the ideas that we see here in our sugya, and we've seen it elsewhere already before, is that something does become a basis in the middle of Shabbos to some degree. What do we mean to say? You know, when everybody was learning laws of muksa in high school, they were told that there's no such thing as basis unless it was there in Shabbos, right? Otherwise, it's not a basis. That's Klal 101. So the truth is that it's not quite true, except maybe according to Balamor. One place where we saw it, for example, was Tosfos, that talked about the case where the guy put down the muksa in the middle of Shabbos and Das Yisrael, right? We saw Tosfos assume that something could become a basis in the middle of Shabbos. And this is the opinion of, as I said, almost all Rishonim, except for the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor, which is more or less quoted by the Magen Avraham and Paskin by the Magen Avraham in Simon Shin Ches Nun. Now, Magen Avraham over there notes that he's against Tosfos. He acknowledges he's against Tosfos, but for example, the Tosfos that we talked about at the beginning of Beitza that talks all about basis for the garbage, or the Tosfos, for that matter, the Gemara by Shiori Kosos, right? The Gemara is clarifying why in the world doesn't the coast become a basis when you have a guy over for Shabbos and he leaves over a little bit of junk at the bottom of his cup? Is it a basis? Is it not a basis? In the end, maybe it is a basis because it's Seran Maschamor or not. But all these questions, I don't know what it's talking about, right? It's talking about it's the middle of Shabbos. The sugya over there is explicitly talking about having a guy on Shabbos, right? It's Mechala. You can't have a guy in Yantif at your Suda, but you could have a guy on Shabbos. There's no concern. You're not coming anywhere. There's no concern in Shabbos Shvilo. And then there's an opinion that says it's Aser because the coast becomes a basis. Yes, no. But the middle of Shabbos, no basis. The truth is that Shiari Kosos are a big kasha on that Shulchan Aruch, on the Baal Amor. It's something that the Achronim go to great lengths to try to actually figure out. How is the Baal Amor not against the Mefurash Gemara by Shiori HaKosos? Maybe even the Baal Amor would agree. And his theory was only when you could get it off by Nior. And here you can't get it off by Nior because you don't want like wine on your tablecloth. But anyway, one way or the other, It seems like the vast majority of Rishonim, including Tosfos, Ramban, Rashba, Ran, all reject the Baal HaMor, and they all hold that there is some type of basis, even on the middle of Shabbos. So, here we'll raise a question, and maybe we'll begin to discuss some solutions. We won't be able to finish it now. And this is, or even as, add, this is especially true when this is where it belongs, when this is where the muksa belongs. For example, we had that by Kina Shatan Nagolim on Mem Hamad Beis, right? Klum Asa Ella, right? So the Gemara is there saying that point. Since this is where it belongs, like that idea we said before from the Chazon Ish, this is where it goes, so it becomes a basis. And there, even there, it's becoming a basis in the middle of Shabbos. Right, the beitza that's laid on that egg, on that place, is a basis in the middle of Shabbos. The Ritva writes that isn't that the whole sugya over there? We don't have time. Let me look afterwards. My recollection is it's clear from the Gemara Mem Hamad Beis talking about on Shabbos. On Shabbos, and we say Klum Asa all the time. So, but we'll check. So that being the case. So here's the question I want to raise. Again, we won't have a full-time answer. One of the most tricky issues that comes up in Hilchos Bastos and Muksa Shabbos is garbage. It's garbage. So, one important question is the garbage in my garbage can muksa? And that's obviously going to depend on two factors. Number one, what is my garbage? And two is, when did I put it in the garbage can? But that latter question, these questions we'll get back to later, because some things in your garbage can aren't muksa. They might be, for example, still edible food, right? And even if they're not human edible, they might be dog edible, if there are dogs in your town. So some of the things aren't a basis. Some of the things, they would be a basis if I threw them out. They would be muksa if I threw them out before Shabbos, but maybe not a basis when I throw them out on Shabbos. No, I say not muksa when I throw it on Shabbos. That's a sugya we'll get to later. But let's assume for a moment, and this will oftentimes be the case, that the garbage in my garbage can is muksa. And let's also assume that there's no heter of graf shomei. Sometimes there is. Sometimes my garbage smells, and if I don't take out my garbage, it stinks up the whole kitchen. Then also there's going to be a heter. But a lot of times that's not the case. I want to take out the garbage to make room for more garbage. But there's no graf shorei. If I don't take out the garbage, you know, by the end of Shabbos, my kitchen still won't smell. If I leave it there for a week, it might smell. But right now, and through the end of Shabbos, it's not going to smell. So I don't necessarily, and then this will also relate to how far you go for the heter of graf shorei. Well, that's an issue we'll get back to. But a lot of times, you won't have the heter of graf shorei either. So why is this, why are we discussing this today? Because it's a basis shaila. Why? So if I left the muksa in the beginning of Shabbos. Notice I started Shabbos with muksa in my garbage can. Then I have a big problem. Because then the garbage bag and the garbage can will be a basis to the muksa. But let's say I mocked it, and this might be a very good idea, lahalacha, we'll talk about it more, to take out your garbage before the start of Shabbos. First of all, because garbage that was there at the beginning of Shabbos is more likely to be muksa. And second of all, then it won't be a basis, perhaps, because at the beginning of Shabbos there's no muksa here. Except that this goes against what I just told you, because I just said that according to Rov Rishonim, and again, perhaps you don't accept this Magen Avraham. Perhaps we do. The Mishnah Berurah does seem to accept the Magen Avraham, though there's stevens. But certainly, let's say the Chazon Ish rejects that Magen Avraham / Baal HaMor. He says it's like a Das Yachid and a Rishonim. It's against all the Rishonim. Forget it. So now I have a big problem, because even if it's in the middle of Shabbos, my garbage can was empty at the beginning of Shabbos. But on Shabbos, it's full of garbage. My garbage can should be a basis in the middle of Shabbos. Now, maybe I'll say okay, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, it will be okay, because I was planning to get rid of it, right? So, well, do we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam? So we saw that not really. The Stam day, the first day in the Shulchan Aruch, was Stam was against the Magen Avraham, the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was a Yeshomim, again, in Simon Shintas Siddalad. However, the Magen Avraham says you could be sonich on it b'makom hefzed. Maybe that would be relevant here, but not always. So this would relate back to the question that we asked before. Why is the Ner Shemen Shabiner, the Ner Shekava, why is that a basis? Right? After all, I'm planning to take it out on Shabbos. If you all like the Tosefta Shabbos' answer, or the, like you said, or Prima Gadim, you're in good shape. If you don't like the Chazon Ish, you're stuck. Why? Because remember, what did the Chazon Ish say? It's the place. Where's the place the garbage goes? In the garbage can. So that's going to be a big problem. But even if you held, like the Mechilim, it might also help only if it's tied to the Sakol Edenir, as we mentioned before. Here, what you want to do is tilt on that side. So there are different etzos. One etza might be to leave a bottle of ketchup underneath, at the bottom of your garbage can, under your garbage bag. So that won't be able to take out the bag, but at least then my garbage can will be a basis of our mutter v'aser, namely the ketchup and the garbage. What's more valuable? The ketchup. Garbage worth zero. So at the very least, that would allow me to take that. That means your ends on time, like you said. To take out my garbage can to the garage.